The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. So how do you get ready for the return of Jesus? In the season of Advent, we anticipate not only the coming of Jesus as a baby born in a stable 2,000 years ago, but during Advent, we also anticipate his coming again, descending on the clouds with great power and glory. And we just read here in Matthew 24 where it says, be ready. So if we take this seriously, we have to ask the question, how do you get ready for the return of Jesus? Well, there are some obvious issues that may need to be dealt with. Paul pointed out in his letter to the Romans, we just read it, and apparently there were Christians in Rome who continued to live an immoral lifestyle, and Paul is reminding them that now they belong to Christ. That's who they are now. So orgies and drunkenness are no longer appropriate for them. Pretty obvious for most of us. So once you've got that covered, how do you prepare for the return of Jesus? You know, honestly, I think a lot of us equate getting ready for Jesus to getting ready for Santa Claus. You better not shout, you better not pout, you better not cry. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming. In other words, get your act together. Start doing what you should do and quit doing what you shouldn't do. Don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with the girls you do. Who do? Start being kind to people, even the people that you do not like. That's the way to get ready for Jesus. Isn't it? I bet if you asked, most Christians would give you an answer that's not far from that. But I want to challenge that idea this morning. In fact, I don't think the right answer to the question, how do you get ready for the return of Jesus? I don't think the right answer is to start trying harder and get your act together. I don't think that's the right answer. Here's why. In Bible study, we just went over this a couple weeks ago. In Mark 10, there's a true story, not a parable, but a true story of a wealthy young man who enthusiastically approached Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to go to heaven?" Jesus responded this way. He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now that's a strange answer. In fact, that's not an answer. Jesus didn't answer the young man's question. He wanted to make a point first, that no one is good but God alone. Now back to the question. what do I need to do to go to heaven? Well, you know the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, do not murder, do not steal, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. The young man replied, teacher, I've kept every one of the Ten Commandments since I was a boy. This was an impressive young man who apparently had his act together. And it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. How do you treat people you truly love? For one thing, you make sure to tell them what they need to know. And that's what Jesus did with this young man. He told him, there's just one thing you lack. Sell all that you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. The rich young man was devastated. He turned and left. And he wasn't the only one shocked. The disciples of Jesus, all those standing around listening to him, the entire crowd was stunned. The ESV Bible translation says that they were exceedingly astonished. And they looked at Jesus and gasped, if a man has to forfeit everything, then who can be saved? You know, these questions, how do I get ready for the return of Jesus, or what do I need to do to go to heaven? The questions are almost the same. And regardless of whether Jesus returns in 15 minutes or not for another 2,000 years, anyone who believes that he's coming back needs to know, what do I do to ensure that I'm ready? Do I give up everything? Do I make sure that I finally keep the Ten Commandments? If that's your strategy, you've got a problem. And here's why. You're incapable of giving up everything, just as you're incapable of keeping the Ten Commandments. You're incapable. That's the point. Jesus was trying to impress upon the rich young man, you may be delusional enough to think that you can keep God's law, but look, you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nor do you love your neighbor as yourself. Sorry. In fact, none of us do. You know, our friend Chad Bird, Nathan mentioned that Chad Bird will be here at the beginning of March. Chad wrote a paragraph about himself that describes all of us. He wrote it after an encounter with a homeless couple at a truck stop. This is what he wrote. One of the sad truths I realized about myself long ago is that I do nothing from completely spick and span motives. And I mean nothing. When I hear someone say that they're utterly sincere or they're doing something from pure motives, I smell a lie. In this world where we still lug around a nature that's selfish to the core, a nature that has its finger in everything we do, there is no 100% purity. Even if I decided to help this hungry, homeless couple, I wouldn't be doing it only for the right reasons. Yes, I'd be doing it because I wanted to help them, but also because they had guilted me into it. Because I'd feel better about myself afterward. Because maybe God would then be good to me. And because I could write a blog and tell all of you about it. Because of a million self-serving reasons. It wasn't really the woman's husband who was digging through the trash. It was me, dumpster diving for good deeds. Life is complicated, and no one is good but God alone. That's the point. And Jesus is the only one who gave up everything. He gave up the joy of heaven for the struggle and hardship of this world, to be with us, sinful, selfish humanity. He gave up his glory at the right hand of the Father for the bitter humiliation of being mocked, spat upon, and nailed to a cross. And he did it for you, because despite your shortcomings, he profoundly loves you. So how do you get ready for the second coming of Jesus? It's different than you think. First, you take a disturbingly honest look at yourself. And seeing yourself as you really are, recognizing your own failures and selfishness and rebellion toward God, you cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness and acceptance. And the really good news is God loves you. And he forgives you today, and he'll forgive you tomorrow, and all the days after that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Lamentation 3. And marinating in God's love and mercy and acceptance, we ourselves begin to absorb a sense of gratitude toward God and humility toward others. The day Jesus returns, whenever that happens, that is not a day to fear. It's a day to look forward to. It'll be the best day ever. Jesus will appear, and all of us sinners who've been declared righteous because Christ died for us, we'll rise into the air to meet him, a rapture, but not as it's described in the Left Behind series, but instead how Jesus describes it. On that day, Jesus will come back to get us himself. We'll shout for joy, and the whole world will see it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes this whole prospect of Jesus coming back is fearful for some. Lord, help us to recognize that this is nothing to fear and everything to look forward to. Lord, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us who are sinful. Lord, help us to be filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.